Good morning, everybody. It's WMFO in Medford, 9 a.m. on the dot. I'm Mike on the mic. It's WMFO in Medford. And here today for 2 hours until Something About the Women comes in. I've got my dear friend Destiny Costa here. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Can you hear yourself okay in the headphones?
I can, yes. Thank you.
Okay. This is a weird day. Many times, and we'll talk about this later on. I'll tell you, I've got a band in here today. I've got American Ocelot. They'll be here at about 9:30, and we'll hear from them and do all the usual good things that we do. And they should be done with what we're doing at about 10:15, at which time we want to talk about our friend who we just lost a couple of days ago. I know that some of you out there probably haven't heard this news, so I'm sorry that I have to be the one to tell you. We mentioned Red on Red Records, our hometown record label, all the time. We play their great music all the time, and that company was started and run by Justine Kovalt. And I'm so sorry to tell you all that she passed Thursday morning, completely suddenly, right, Destiny?
Correct, yeah.
And we're just, it hasn't even been 24 hours since I knew about it, and she was just such a light in the world, and such a lovely person. So we're going to dedicate today to her. Usually I'm very well prepared, and I have all my sets all ready to go, and I sort of did it, but I don't remember what I'm going to do or play. But so Destiny, why don't we just sort of start? I see that the band is here. We'll have somebody go downstairs and bring them in. Dan, I think they're here, and Dan is here too. Dan Anklin, who is forever Justine's right hand guy at Red on Red Records, and he'll be saying something to her. I don't do sign language. What are you doing? Oh, do you have? Oh, I need to give it to you. All right, he needs the key. He's so demanding.
Crying out loud, Dan.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I won't give you my credit card again. I did
okay,
that once.
Good.
Ooh. Okay. See you never. No.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll get to Medford Center if he gets my credit card. But yeah. So American Ocelot's here. He's going down to get them, and we're gonna,
really excited to hear for this band.
I know it. They're awesome. They're awesome. Yeah. They're awesome. They're awesome. Destiny, why don't we just sort of get ourselves together? I'll play some stuff that'll get us to 9:30 when the band will come on.
Well, thank you for having me on today.
Thank you for coming. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, me too.
So I have some new noise that I picked. I don't know what we'll get to and what we won't, but some great stuff. Brand new noise from the Bright Light Social Hour. Of course, a bunch from Justine's bands. She's got a new record out that I've got right here.
Which is phenomenal.
Which is called The Signal Light, and we've got a couple of songs to play from that are new noise, as well as her project Justine's Black Threads. I've got something from Hammered Saint, The False Positives, Bad Marriage, and the first one I want to play is really coincidentally a Red on Red Records band called Devil Love. They're so good. All these bands on Justine's label, and it's forever Justine's label, she signed them. She said, yeah, let's put that on the record. That's a great song. And she worked tirelessly to get them heard around the world. So the first one that I want to play is from Devil Love, Red on Red Records. This one's called Washed Away. This is WMFO. It's new noise. Yeah.
washed away.
Sunday picnic,
spread a blanket on the grass. I got a brick of firecrackers. Let's see how long these babies last.
Oh, This is more like it.
You're listening to WMFO Medford.
WMFO in Medford, 9:20 in the morning. I'm Mike. Destiny Costa is here with me as well.
And good morning.
Good morning. And we've got a band in here too, American Ocelot, that we'll have on air about 9:30 or so. I'm going to hear some recorded stuff, and I'm going to play live too. Yeah, so that'll be good. Let me tell you what I played in that set. And remember, this show is dedicated to Justine Kovalt, and we will talk about her and play some stuff about her and from her after about 10:15 or 10:20 or so with everybody here. Dan Anklin is here, too, from Red on Red Records. He always will be Justine's right-hand guy, and he's here. He's going to say a few words about the lady as well. So all that's coming up. Let me tell you what I played in that set. Then I've got two songs to get us down to 9:30-ish, and we'll have American Ocelot in then.
He is a man of precision.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
I'm a mess today.
You're doing a very good job.
Yeah.
You are.
This is hard.
It is, very much so.
All right, so started off with, coincidentally, I swear, a Red on Red Records artist called Devil Love. Brand new noise from them called Washed Away. Such a great band and great record of theirs. It's a self-titled record. Then followed up with Joe Jackson from 1979's I'm the Man. That was It's Different for Girls. Not only is that true, but it's a great song. Chuck Prophet owned the third song in the set from 2004's record called The Age of Miracles. That was Just to See Your Smile, one of my favorites. I love them, and that's just a indicative of the great work that they do. Speaking of which, Happy Little Clouds is another Boston artist that had played in the fourth song of the set. In 2016, they put out a record called Shift. Come on now, it's S-H-I-F-T, all right? Don't mess with me. It's called Don't Turn Me On. Grungy guitars, awesome melody. Love them. And New Noise in the fifth song of the set from Bad Marriage, which Destiny discovered and told me about. Remember that in your
well, yeah,
in your then living room?
Well, that was that was a going back to Mike Fitz, the guitarist.
Yeah.
Mike Fitzmaurice from the Bad Marriage. He was in a different band way back in the day,
mm-hmm.
and I used to play him on Freeform BCN a mm-hmm. lot, and I had interviewed him on Freeform BCN for this other band, and it was more of a pop type of a dance band, which was funny for him.
Yeah.
And my favorite songs in that band were always when Mike was able to let his lead guitar kind of rip, you know what I mean? Because he was such a great guitarist.
Yes.
And then that band was no more. They sort of broke up and was done. And then he had this solo project that was phenomenal. And then he sent me a message with Knock Three More Times. And he's like, you're the first person. I want you to hear this. And I knew within like 10 seconds that the song was going to be amazing. So I don't know that I discovered them, but they sought me out. Mike kind of sent it to me and I got it to you guys, and you know.
I don't know if you remember, but I was visiting you for some reason and we sat watching your Apple TV.
Right. Okay.
And you, yeah.
You just gave me a flashback. Yeah, okay.
Right.
You were probably there to help work on my studio with Mark Gordon or something like that.
Probably.
But yeah, Bad Marriage, working so hard and it's so long and they're just doing an incredible job.
Yeah, that's brand new from them. It's called Artificial Mind. All mm-hmm. right, I'm going to play a couple songs as promised. The first one, man, is from a local band called Hammered Saint. Oh. Can't get enough of them.
Get
oh my
ready.
God.
Get ready.
So I had to blip these out because they say bad words, but it's so
bad
worth it.
Bad words.
I'm also playing a great song from the False Positives. Just came out, called Leaves a Mark. So let me start with Hammered Saint. This is called Steal the Show, and it's just awesome. It's WMFO in Medford.
You're a home!
All right, it's WMFO right here in Medford. And wow, let me tell you what I played here as everybody gets settled here from American Ocelots. Just heard a couple of local bands. First was Hammered Saint, who I just can't get enough of. That was called Steal the Show. And The False Positives with Dave Harrison of Voodoo Dolls fame and Todd Erickson from a huge legacy right here in Boston. They worked on that called Leaves a Mark. It was just great. So, all right, I've got some folks here from American Ocelot. I'm going to turn up all the mics that I have, which aren't many. Can you guys say hi?
Hi.
Hello. Ooh, can you hear us?
Hey, look, it works.
A little bit, kind
you can
of.
Hear us
ooh.
A little bit there.
I'm Charlie. Turning you up.
Can
you,
oh,
is that better now?
Can you hear me?
Yes. That's Joni. Hi, Joni.
Hello.
Okay, we have Sarah.
Hey.
Okay, and you are
Kevin,
and we have Charlie,
I'm
a contortionist, and I'm looking down to see him. But so basically, this is pretty cool. We have Kevin, who we just met. Let me just. Wait, everything is so screwed up today because of Justine.
It's okay, horrible.
So Joni is Vox keyboards and guitar. Kevin is guitar. Charlie is bass, and Sarah Billingsley is drums and vocals, right?
Yeah.
And you guys are American Ocelot.
Ayo.
The first thing I have to ask you, it's a cool name, but tell me about it. What's American Ocelot? How did you come up with it? And I know you're a school teacher, so don't Joni, don't embarrass me with like things I should know.
All right. Well, honestly, I have a book with probably 500 or more names in it, and I always run them by Jason Raffi to make sure it's not too dumb. But right. I was like, I can't come up with a name. I was like, I have hundreds of names I've like made up, and I just was like watching, you know, PBS, of course, Nature. I love that show. I love it. I love that show. And they have they have this special about the American Ocelot. There are only about 120 individuals left in the United States because of the border wall and because of private ranchers along the Texas border.
Didn't somebody want to build a... never mind.
Anyway, they're plentiful in Mexico and Central and South America, but our population is not diverse any longer because they can't, like, commingle. So, and it's very, very difficult for the scientists to do research because they're not allowed onto these private ranchers. So in this special, this researcher who had been following them for more than 10 years finally was able to capture them on film. And they've been spotted recently by people because they cross highways and whatnot with their kittens. And I know the Cincinnati Zoo has become involved with it. And of course, if we ever play a show that's big enough and we make enough from ticket sales, we would love to make a donation to that special cause.
Are there, since you specified American, are there other...
Yeah, in Mexico and Central and South America, the ocelot also has a habitat. Because they're very diverse. They really prefer like dry scrub, but they also live in the rainforest. So they can really adapt to any environment. And I just love them. They're just, when you hear them meow, it's like...
They're beautiful animals.
They're so beautiful. And there's like another video Sarah found with this person. He was, European, and he was struggling with PTSD, and he went down and rehabbed one. And just to see him interacting with the cat, like raising it and then releasing it into the wild, it was just really cool to watch that.
I had to Google it because I didn't know. I was what is this?
I don't know. If you go to our Facebook page, American Ocelot Music, I have a link to the video, like the show, that you can watch at YouTube. It's really worth it. It's like one of the best nature episodes.
I gotta say, I'm kind of interested in the Mexicano one because I think they'd be spicy.
Hey,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Spicy Ocelot. That's a good band name.
That's a great
band.
Hey,
yes. No, but Mike, I wanted to say when. Oh, pardon me for pointing. They can't see that on the radio. But Joni went. So we did toss a bunch of band names around
so many.
That, and I was like, or I would have an idea and be like, it's important, right?
Right.
So that one, I like that one. We liked it.
It had a good ring to it.
But also, it passes the Cleveland test. It has to pass the Cleveland test.
What is the Cleveland
test? Is that something to do with Drew Carey?
No.
Hello, Cleveland. We are American Ocelot. If it works,
what is the Cleveland test? Like
that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
If it sounds...
It sounds cool.
If it doesn't work, you can't.
When you're interested, it makes sense.
I mean, you're stuck with your band name for you know, forever. It's your family. So it's you want like it to be tattoo. Like the best special name you can find.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a cool one for sure. And thank you for that detailed explanation.
I mean, Joan is a teacher.
I know.
So I was smiling the whole time because you did such a lovely thing.
I feel like I need to go over and sit in the corner because I didn't know.
No, you just
I don't know. Like my last band, I picked the name from a science fiction book by that I love by Heinlein.
But just be prepared for like a thorough kick-ass answer. So if you ask any question, it's going to be thorough.
Next time it's going to be different.
And I love that.
I know some things are really random, but this one actually had a backstory.
That was good. All right, so there's four of you here. I'd like to take the time we have everybody get to know you a little bit. And I'll start with the lovely blonde here in front of me, my friend Joni. Joni, tell us a little bit about, because you have quite a pedigree here in Boston as far as the music scene. Just, you know, give me a quick 3 minutes. Like, this is me.
A quick 3 minutes.
Did you grow up in a musical house? When did you first start playing music? What's your favorite kind of stuff? All of that stuff.
Okay. Well, I started to learn how to read music when I learned how to read at age 4. My mom was a teacher, and she studied at Henry Street Settlement in New York City. She's a really gifted piano player as well. And then when I was 8, I started to learn how to play the flute, and she bought me a guitar when I was like 12. And I was always in like chorus and marching band and orchestra and pops group and like everything you could be in school, and continued on like in music when I moved to Boston from the New York City area.
We won't hold that against you that you're a New Yorker, but that's okay.
Well, they did when I moved up here, because I walked into the Sevens on Beacon Hill with a Yankee hat on, and I got like told I could never come back.
Yeah, don't do that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know. But I can see from whence you came, because of your mom being a teacher, right? Ding, and you know, music. You know, I can see where you came from. So, what was the first music that you remember loving and just saying, this is not just like background noise to me?
My dad bought the first Blood, Sweat, and Tears album, which he listened to incessantly. Perfect. And then my mom was really into the Beatles. So we would play the first Beatles album like all the time on weekends at our house. And we'd run around the loop. Like, you know how those ranches are in the 70s? They have these loops. We were young children. We would just run around like while the music was chasing the dogs and the cat. Of course.
Cool. So you play keyboards and guitar. How long have you been doing each of those? Did you start in school?
Yeah.
In a band?
Well, I mean, I've been playing piano since I was very young. Yeah. And I got my first keyboard, you know, when I was in high school, and my first guitar when I was in high school. And
did you participate like in high school bands and stuff?
Yeah, I was in marching band.
Me too, yeah.
Chorus,
trombone,
pop screw.
Trombone,
jazz band. I taught myself how to play the baritone sax so I could play in jazz band.
There you go.
Because I already had an electric piano player. And I also, like, I co-wrote one of the marching band songs with our band director, Stephen Melillo, who's, like, an award-winning musician. He went to Berkeley. Yeah. And, you know, so it was, like, the music, it's always been around. Like, I've always participated by playing flute and piccolo or playing piano and whatnot. And,
wow.
When I came up here, you know, I went back to grad school and I was working in a ton of restaurants, so I met Chris Morin, and like we formed two bands together, and then I formed a different band back in the early 2000s.
Yep.
I also like wrote for tons of, you know, rock scenes. I submit to Noise Rock Pile as an editor at Instant Magazine.
Ah, that's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Hinckley was so good to us. Like, he was just amazing, and we really got the opportunity to meet a lot of diverse artists through that opportunity. It was really exciting, and you know, I met a lot of record label owners, all musicians, and I just wanted to get back into music, so I stopped writing and did the music instead.
Oh, very cool. So I wasn't surprised to hear you mention Beatles, because everybody does. There hasn't been one guest in here that hasn't mentioned Beatles
but
they changed everything in 1964.
Yeah.
We're all steeped in that. Right?
But, you know, my mom, then when Billy Joel started coming out with his album, she made me buy all of his vinyl so she could listen to it.
All right, so I asked all of you each, and we're going to play an influence, and I know it was a terribly hard question to pick one influence, and you picked a local band called The Cars.
Yeah, we listened. That vinyl, I don't even know if it would still play anywhere. I played it so many times.
Yeah.
We played it over and over again at every single party. And I mean, not that I wasn't influenced by tons of other bands, but I love that. I love them.
Yep.
And that's when I really got into keyboards.
Ah, there you go.
Because I loved all the keyboard parts.
Yeah, it's classic, is for sure.
And
all right.
Yep.
Well, thank you. We'll hear Just What I Needed in just a little while. Let's talk to the other lovely woman, my friend Sarah Billingsley. What was that face for, huh? you play the drums and you sing as well in this band.
Yep.
So same question as you. Tell us just like in a quick 3-minute kind of thing, you know, where you grew up, when do you, was your house musical? When did you first start playing drums? Did you play anything else? All that good stuff.
Yes. Okay.
All right. That's nothing. No, go ahead.
Who are you?
So yes, I came from a musical house. Both of my parents, my dad started playing violin when he was 2 and played piano and classical. And then when he was in college, he played for money. He played like stand-up bass at polka, in a polka bands for weddings and outside of Cleveland. You know, a lot of Polish in Cleveland. Nice. Yay. Like beautiful Benjamin Orzechowski from the Cars. Uh-huh. He's from Lakewood, Ohio. He was a rock star in Cleveland when he was 17. Check it out.
Yep.
And anyway, so my mom also played violin. So when they met, they played music together. But then they moved to New York. They were into jazz. When I was a kid, we didn't have TV in the house. We just played records. And so, like, I inherited my dad's record collection. I love records. It's always been music. I loved radio. WKBW in Buffalo. I remember listening to that. So I'm a radio person.
I was going to say, you've been in radio for a long time.
Yeah, I've done radio. Like, so when I was a kid, like a teenager, all my friends were in bands, but I was a girl. It never occurred to me to be in a band.
And you played drums, too. That's aggressive.
I did not play drums back then. I played a bit of guitar. I played piano off and on. We moved a lot, so my lessons were always interrupted. Both of my parents were, you know, all kinds of music always, and musicians. When we lived in India for a year, and my dad played sitar.
Really?
And my mom played tablas, and I had a child-sized sitar. The children's one has a flat back, and the adult one has a big round bowl, like for the back of the sitar, but a child's is flat.
That is so
flat.
Cool.
Sarah, it was so beautiful. Oh, my God, I wish I still had that.
She's got pictures on her.
But, so a lot of music all the time. I played a little guitar and piano when I was younger, but then I was like supporting music by being a DJ and playing music, supporting musicians. I married a musician. We all moved to Boston. I just started playing drums like 8 years ago.
That's awesome.
All right, that's awesome.
I bought, whatever. I mean, I love it. I love doing it. There's a lot of drummer jokes, you know, out there. You tell if the floor is level? Lay the drummer down and see which way the drool rolls.
Is that true?
But think about this. You are doing things with 4 different limbs at the same time. And if you are singing, you're also using that part of your brain.
I can't even fathom it.
So
really.
So there.
I've always been in awe of drummers.
But I love playing drums. It makes me really happy. And it's fun to be able to play with my friends finally, because all my friends have always been musicians. I've always been at the shows. It's so great. This is a beautiful community. And I'm so sad about Justine. I loved her very much. She was a friend. Our daughters went to school together a little bit. You know, they knew each other from school. Like, she was a beautiful mom, a beautiful musician, and she was such a key to this community.
It's just shocking.
So it's fun to be able to be part of this beautiful community as a player and also as a supporter.
Yep, and I'm so glad you're here. So we've now talked to... Get this, Joni. We talked to 50% of the band. That's a little teacher thing for knowing that I know how to do math.
It's
anyway,
a good thing Mike's here.
So we've talked to 50% of you, and both of you so far have had musical backgrounds, musical homes, you know? So
the pressure's on, guys.
So, Sarah, I'm going to owe you a song because we asked about influences, and I couldn't find either one of them. I don't know why. I couldn't find them, but I owe you one next time you come here. Maybe you'll get an extra one, but you would pick something by the Pagans.
The Pagans.
Yeah, and I have to say, I don't know that band. Tell us just a little bit about what we would have heard if I could have found it.
They're a legendary punk band from Cleveland, and I think they're pretty known. Like, they were playing, like, similar times, like Dead Boys and stuff like that, but then... So, it was kind of a short period of time. I probably should have researched this a little bit more. But Mike Hudson was the main guy, and they were just so fantastic. And when I was a kid, I went to the all ages punk shows, and I would go see them. Like, I think they were playing in the late 70s, early 80s. So I would go to I remember it was just like you'd imagine, this long skinny bar and with the mirror on the back and like just roiling teen punks everywhere, and there was a tall skinny guy with a foot tall mohawk singing, and someone went up and like strangled him, and people were fighting, and it was and I would go see the Pagans and I love it. It's just like, it's really good poppy punk beautiful, great songs, but just a little bit out of control.
Awesome. Wish I could have played them. I'll get them next time.
They had too many swears anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. FCC controlled station here. So far with Joni and with Sarah, we have the Cars and we have the Pagans. So you're getting a little, everybody out there listening, a little, you know, look into what their music might sound like and where they're coming from. All right, next up, let's talk to Kevin.
Okay.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here. You're the guitarist.
Yeah.
And tell us the same kind of thing, you know, where you grew up, musical household or not, and when did you pick up a guitar, any other instruments, and all of that.
Yeah, I did have a musical household. My mother was a Boston Conservatory student.
So you grew up here?
I didn't, no.
Oh, you didn't, all right.
No, I was born in Ohio, but I grew up mostly in Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, so I had a musical household. My dad played the piano. A little organ, you know. It's always kind of. He had a big home organ in our house with the like three keyboards and the like early synthesizer for consumers from like 1970. It was like with these
like,
little
like
tiny
Moogs?
Keys. Not even. No. It was so basic. Yeah, it was really funny. But right. I can still hear what that thing sounded like. It was so corny sounding.
What a wonderful influence for you to have.
I know. Really.
Seeing that, right? I mean, and look at you now. You know, as a young man that you've grown up to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in music yourself.
That's right.
So
Kevin James is a killer guitarist.
Oh,
don't
thanks,
you hold
Destiny,
back, Kevin.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, well, when I
try to hold back, I do.
Don't
I,
you?
I try
mean,
to be
we have
restrained.
To be humble, I know, but
I want to be
Kevin
like
James
tasteful,
of Hullabaloo,
you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, Hullabaloo fame.
All yeah, right, yes.
When I told Destiny who was coming in here, he goes, oh, Kevin and I have Facebook friends. He listens to my show, Hullabaloo. And so when did you first pick up a guitar? And is that the only instrument you play?
When did you first start to rock?
Right.
Age 15, got a guitar. It was 1977. You know, the Dead Boys album had just come out. And I was like, man, I can do this. Somebody showed me a D chord, and I'm like, I can do this. You know, and just kind of took it from there.
Nice.
You know, and I played ever since then. I've been playing in bands as a kid up to now. So, I moved to Boston in the early 80s.
What a time to come here.
Yeah, I mean, it was something, you know. I knew I wanted to come here just to. It was either going to be here or New York, but this is all I could. I couldn't afford to move to New York, and you know, it was a little too big for having grown up in Connecticut. I had to have an intermediate city like this. I think to get used to. I was from the sticks, really. But
So, did you frequent the Rat and all the clubs around here?
Yeah, all of it. You know, played as many as I could, and you know, yeah, I was here luckily early enough to still be around when there was. Like Cantones and some of the really old school places and Chet's, all, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
You can usually Chex? Tell people that have been to the Rat if their like sneakers still stick to the floor.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I mean, my mind always goes back to that one Tad matinee show at the Rat where the men's room flooded down the stairwell. If you remember, it was upstairs in the downstairs.
Lovely.
And they had to bail on the whole show.
There's pictures of that place, especially the men's room.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I think they used it like in The Shining, I think, it was really different. So
only in the director's cut. Yeah, it was too scary for the show. Yeah.
So we asked about influences, and we mentioned that cool band Hullabaloo, and you picked something by Hullabaloo, Drink to Get Drunk.
This was on, I produced this album and I was pretty proud of it at the time. And, I don't know, I think it was an interesting band, you know, people, one time somewhere on tour, they advertised us as metal with a trumpet, but it wasn't really like that. I mean,
you gotta mix it up sometimes.
I mean,
So Hullabaloo, when you guys played in 2015, right?
Yep.
Like I was not. Hi everybody, I'm Destiny. Mark Skin Radio, friends with Mark
Destiny.
Newman here. Hi everybody.
Yeah.
So it was one of my favorite live shows I've ever seen, and I did not want Hullabaloo to stop playing. I was just blown away. It was so fun and so raw and so great. I was just like, when you stopped, I was sad. Like it was just such.
That was a really
forever.
Fun show.
Like
fun
so, this show. Band and you played the Rock and Roll Rumble in what 88 or 89,
I think
right?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had to look that up because in 88, 89, I was a stoner high school dropout that wasn't doing anything. I was like 17. I was a stoner. Rock and roller. But I didn't play a band because, like Sarah, I didn't think to pick up an instrument because I was a girl.
I know, it's too
like,
bad. Yeah, yeah, I was, you know.
Anyway, so Hullabaloo, you guys, go check them out. Try to find them. Dig in the archives.
Look on YouTube. There's some really amazing concert footage.
Yeah.
Some crazy
stuff. Need to put something together.
And release it.
Yeah, you're not going to find it on the Disney Channel.
I want to add a fun.
It would be good. Yeah.
A fun fact about our first debut show in April at the Jungle. Like, we advertised it, obviously, on radio and social media and whatnot, and one of the former members of Hullabaloo just happened to be in town and showed up at the show and surprised Kevin.
The trumpet guy.
Yeah, and the trumpet guy said that he would play on our record if we need trumpet parts. So I was like...
Oh, and he's insane trumpet player.
He's amazing. Yeah, he's amazing. So good. Like,
Tom Quinn, right?
So we're going to figure out a way to fit that in.
I'm going to write a song. Yeah, we have like, to do something. One of those songs, like...
let Tom play on it, yeah.
I got a surprise for you. Tom, come on. No, I'm just kidding. That'd be something, wouldn't it?
I'll tell you, I'm rarely surprised, but he really... He and his wife surprised the heck out of me.
It was really an amazing moment.
Yeah, it was really fun.
It was fun. Yeah,
it was good to see those guys.
All right. Thank you so much.
Anyway, yes. So I did five. I think I was in it for 5 years, I think.
It's good that you don't remember exactly.
This explains why I look the way I look now after 5 years of abuse like that. But, I lived through it. So.
We could be twins. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Kevin. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Charlie Sullivan. Is that a Boston name or what? Tell us, Charlie.
Not really, no? But kind of. Yeah, my father has Massachusetts roots, but I grew up in southern New Hampshire.
Close enough.
Yeah, and... Being that I'm old enough to remember the Beatles when they came out, the reason I play bass is because Paul McCartney was my favorite Beatle. That's it. That's really the only reason. And just from there, you know, went through the motions of hippie rock or whatever, and then new wave in this order, new wave, then punk rock, and that kind of stuck with me, punk rock, post-punk. Moved to Boston in 84, and I played in several different bands with Kevin going back to like about 86, I think. Our first one was Madden Crowd. We had a little bit of a following at first, but that didn't last too long. And,
did you first pick up the bass when you saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan?
Yeah, well, I got an acoustic guitar, took lessons. The guitar teacher actually told me to stick with the guitar, but I was stuck on Paul McCartney being the bass player. So got a bass, and I started playing bass at 10, I think.
Oh, wow.
Kind of dropped it in high school because I sold the bass that I had. It was a crappy one anyway. And picked it up again right after high school. And most of the time since then, I've played in bands. So.
Okay. And we have... let me see. Why am I having trouble? Because I'm all messed up today. You did pick the Beatles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To play for an influence.
Yeah, I mean... As far as influences go, I thought, I'm the bass player in this band, so let me go in that direction. And of course, so is a Beatles song. And I think it's Taxman, which is actually a George Harrison song.
Yeah, but what a bass line. What a bass line.
Exactly. That's one of the, that might
be the
line.
It's prevalent, yeah.
Yeah, and it really stuck with me at the time. I mean, it's not just, the riff is a very simple riff, but it came to be a thing. And also the... it's got a great bass sound. I think that's why that jumped out at me when I was like 11 years old when I heard that.
Cool. All right, so at 9:53 in the morning, we've met everybody. I want to play those influences just to remind you we're going to play from Hullabaloo, Drink to Get Drunk. Can't wait to hear that. Taxman from the Beatles and The Cars, Just What I Needed. Going to start with Drink to Get Drunk. Let me make sure I have everything the way I need it to be. I think I do. This is WMFO. We'll be back after we hear the influences here at WMFO.
Jam it in the dark. Yeah!